Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. We talked about the fact that he's in the middle. Can you say he's in the middle? He's in the middle. There's a little slide right here. You ready? There it is. You know, we talked about the two people that were crucified there on the side of Jesus. It wasn't just one. It was two other folks that got crucified there, two other criminals. And what's so incredible to me is that Jesus, when he was crucified, they said when they would look on it, they weren't even sure if it was a man. He was so beaten up by the time they nailed him to that cross, they said it wasn't even recognizable. It just looked like a broken lump of flesh. The fact that he was even still alive is a miracle in itself, because they beat him to death. And there he was, that lump of flesh. But the one guy, he's like yelling like everybody else, "If you are who you say you are, come on, get us out of this mess. I mean, call the legion angels and get her done." And then the other guy rebuked him and said, "Be quiet. What are you thinking?" And he turned and he looked at a lump of flesh that was dying right before his eyes. And he himself, being crucified, dying at that moment, giving his life, he looks at this lump of flesh and he says, "You're coming into a kingdom." Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, this is a real bad day for me, but I'm looking and going, it's a real bad day for him too. And nobody here seems to believe in him, but I'm looking and I'm saying, this guy, this lump of flesh beside me, he's coming into a kingdom. How many know that takes an awful lot of faith when you're having the worst day of your life to see a guy who might be having a worst day of his life and saying, he's coming into something? Pretty wild. I cannot believe that kind of faith. But he believed and he said, "Lord, Master, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." And Jesus said, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." And right there in that gross, messy situation, that guy got a breakthrough. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't seen a crucifixion in a long time. I mean, the Romans used to do a lot of it, used to do a lot. And I'm telling you, if you think there's a dead end, if you think life is over and there's no hope, it was that dude. But he looked at a guy who might have had less hope, and he said, "I hope in you, and I believe in you." And that very day, he himself was also raised from the dead, spiritually alive, and in paradise with Jesus. Pretty crazy stuff. But I'll tell you, he saw Jesus in the middle. You know, the Word of God says that he will never, and I love the Amplified, because in Hebrews it says, I will not ever leave you or forsake you or leave you without help and support. God will never, ever, ever let you down. And no matter what situation you find yourself in, I'm sure it's not as bad as that day, but no matter what situation, I'm telling you, Jesus is in the middle. He's in the middle. Go ahead, yell at your neighbor. He's in the middle. You look at them, because they're going through stuff right now. You got somebody beside you experiencing life. They may not be on a cross and at the end of their days. I mean, think about that guy. He could have been crucified the day before. He could have been crucified the day after. But lucky beggar, he got crucified the same day as Jesus right there beside him. And he got to cry out and put his faith in the Lord of Lords. Amazing stuff. But you know what? You right now need to know that no matter what you're going through, if you think your future's bleak, shake yourself, because he's in the middle and he's ready to turn it around. He's in the middle. So now that day he was there and he was with the Lord in paradise. So we started our little Easter set there with he's in the middle. And today I want to tell you, he's not only in the middle, but he's got the keys. He's not only in the middle, but he's got the keys. He's not only in the middle, but he's got the keys. Anybody got some keys? He got the keys. Has anybody ever lost their keys? No, honestly, have you ever lost your keys? Where were your keys when you found them? Right where you put them? Or some people say, it was in the last place I looked. Now, why was it in the last place you looked? Because it was the last place you looked. That's such a dumb thing to say. Anyway, Jesus is in the middle. And Jesus has the keys. So we're going to talk about some keys today. Going to get you excited. And you're going to have a breakthrough today. I double dog dare you not to have a breakthrough. If you're not having one, I will come and personally slap one on you. Come on. He's in the middle and he's got the keys. Matthew chapter 28. Open up your Bible. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Starting at verse 1. Here we go. Now, after the Sabbath, it was the first day of the week, it began to dawn, and Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came, and rolling back the stone from the door, he sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen." He is risen. He is risen just like he said he would. Come, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. Put that part up on the screen. I did that because I like it. He is risen. Come and see. Go quickly and tell. He is risen. Come and see. Go quickly and tell. He is risen. Come and see. Go quickly and tell. And that's really what it should be all about, isn't it? He is risen. You should see that. You should be walking in the experience of that. And then you should quickly go and tell others that I serve a risen Savior. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Amen." He's talking to you. All right. Good, good, good. Come and see and go and tell. He said, "Go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, and behold, have I not told you?" So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear. This is interesting. With fear and great joy. With fear and great joy. That was a pretty crazy experience, but I'm really happy about it. That was wild stuff right there. But I am so excited. With fear and great joy, and they ran to bring the disciples his word. Now turn your page back one to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, 52. Matthew 27, 52. Turn back too many pages. There it is. It says, "And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised." Many dead people, some dead believers, boom. The resurrection was so powerful. I mean, even when Jesus began to pray and sweat drops of blood, if you'll read about even Gethsemane, you'll see that there was a naked young boy that was running around. What was that all about? It was because right then, redemption began. And there must have been some child that was buried and, you know, boom, just the whole resurrection, the whole redemption began. And even that child, the power of resurrection was already beginning to flow. And even that child was raised from his tomb. Boomba. He was raised up. "And the graves were open, and many bodies of saints who'd fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of their graves after the resurrection, they went into the holy city and they appeared to many." I mean, you can imagine that, you know. "Mom! The door. We'll answer it." "I did, but it's Uncle Fred." "It's not Uncle Fred. He's been dead for years. I'm telling you, it's Uncle Fred." Man, it's crazy stuff. But the power of the resurrection. Now we're going to talk about some keys, because in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus, through that, got authority, and through that, he was made the key bearer and the key holder. So go to Revelation, all the way over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Turn your Bibles, don't be afraid, it's all right. Revelation chapter 1. Read a couple verses there. Verse 17. This is Jesus speaking now to John on the Isle of Patmos. And he says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last.'" Now, what amazes me is that this is Jesus in his resurrected state. But, I mean, here's Jesus, and he's showing up to his friend John. I mean, John at the Last Supper was reclining on his chest and eating with him and enjoying fellowship with him. And here's John, you know, years later on the Isle of Patmos, and Jesus shows up like, "Ah!" I mean, eyes flaming, shining, whoa! I mean, if I were John, I'd go, "Oh, Jesus, chill. Why do you have to freak me out like that?" I mean, man. just the way I see it. You know, you can not see it that way. But he says, wow. He said, as he fell down, he fell like a dead man. Boom. And he said, I am, verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Let me read that again. The whole Easter message. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys to Hades and of death. I have the keys to Hades and of death. That's good. He's got some keys. Amen. I've got the keys to Hades and of death. Now, it wasn't the keys to hell. It was the keys to Hades. It was the keys to the place of the dead. On Good Friday, I told you about the fellow there. He was in the middle. He saw Jesus in the middle. And he said, Jesus, remember me. And he said, today you will be with me in a place called paradise. Before the cross, there was a place where dead folks went. Before the cross, there was a place where believers went. Believers in what? It was believers who believed in the promise of Jesus. There's two types of believers. Those who before the cross believed in the promise, and then those after the cross who believe in the performance of Jesus. Say promise. They believed in the promise, and then there's the performance. We believe in the performance. So there's two types of people, before and after. But before the cross, there were two types of people. There were those who believed in the promise and those who did not. There were those who believed that there would be a resurrection of the dead. They believed that a Messiah would come, and there was those who did not believe. So there was a place of the dead, also called Sheol in Hebrew, but it's not hell. It's a place of the dead. And paradise was a place where the believers were kept. And it's called paradise. And that's where Jesus went. And Jesus, after he had died, it says that he descended into Sheol, and he went down there, and he there spoke to those people who did not accept the promise of a Messiah, and he said, you folks are in the place of Sheol, and you're here for a good reason, because you did not believe the good news that was preached to you of a coming Savior. And then he said to those who were in paradise, he said, come with me. I've got the keys. I'm going to release you now from this holding place, and you now are going to come with me, and we're going to race up to the throne of God. I'm going to take my blood, and I'm going to put it on the mercy seat, and we're going to rejoice around the throne of our Heavenly Father. Woo! And David said, I'm going to write a new song about that. Oh, come to think of it, I already wrote one. I already saw this day in the Spirit. Woo! Let's sing this one while we go. And they sang a song, headed up there. Abraham was going, I told you, I told you, I told you, I knew I would see this day. And then some of the folks, they said, Jesus, if you don't mind, can I drop into Jerusalem on the way up just to say hello to a few folks? He emptied it because he had the keys. The keys are a symbol of control. Keys keep people in or they keep people out. Keys, if you do not have a key to a lock, then you cannot enter or exit. Keys grant the holder access to interiors, to their contents. And in ancient times, the wearing of a large key was a mark or a status symbol, a mark of authority in a community. Keys. Jesus said, come on, I have the keys. 1 Peter 3:18-20. It said, for Christ also once he suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. Jesus went. He didn't go to hell. He didn't have to go to hell. He's not carrying your sins. Once and forever, he bore the penalty for sin on the cross. That is finished. He's no more carrying sin. He didn't go to hell because of sin. He went to hell to preach saying, it is done. It is finished. I have the keys. I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Come with me. Boom. Ephesians Chapter 4, 8-10, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the one who ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. things. So Jesus had the keys. Jesus, he didn't even have to get the keys back from the devil. Jesus got the keys because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Because of the finished work of the cross, Jesus had authority. He had the right to open and to close and to shut, and to open and to close and to open and shut and close and open. Praise the Lord. Psalm 24. This is the song David wrote. David wrote this song way before it happened. But David saw it in the spirit years before it even took place. David wrote the psalm. He said, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you ancient everlasting doors. Be lifted up." What's happening? You got Jesus. He's going Mach 7 towards the throne room. He's coming. And now you got to see that the gates of heaven, there's angels. There's these holy beings. And they're looking. And they're seeing this massive group of people. They've never seen anything like it before. Never has it even been permitted before. But I see people. I see people with resurrected bodies. I see them coming violently towards the gates of heaven, and they're crying out, "Who is it?" And they said, "Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors. It's the King of Glory." This is the King of Glory, strong and mighty, the King who is mighty in battle, who has defeated the foe, who has the keys of death and hell. He is the King of Glory. This is Jesus. See, David saw that way before it happened. And when Jesus came, he said, "It's time to play that song." Woo! Everybody sing with me. You know, suddenly they heard, they said, "That's Jesus. He doesn't look anything like he did when he left." It's true. Because, you know, when Jesus came back, he came back as a man. He came back limited in an earth suit, just like you and just like I, in a resurrected body. Jesus is the first man who ascended on high. And because of his blood, he granted access to all those who believed. And there was a massive onslaught into the glory realm. Jesus brought many sons to glory that day, and all of heaven rejoiced. Settle down. I know it's exciting. Give you another key. We're going to do one more key. You ready for another key? Revelation 3, verse 7. He said, "Those things I say, he who is holy and he who is true." Who is this? This is Jesus. "These things says he who is holy and he who is true." Let me just stop for a second to bring some emphasis. Who's got the keys to death and to Hades? Who's got the keys? Jesus does. Jesus does. There's nobody else has authority to tell you whether you're going to live or die, but Jesus does. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus has those keys. But he has another key. It says, these are the things. He was holy, he is true. Who has the key of David? Who has the key of David? He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. He opens and no one shuts, and he shuts and no one opens. Now, when you read something like that, you should look at all the rest of your Bible. You might have little markings, a little B or a C or a 1 or a little tab or some brackets or some other things there. And that helps you understand what's going on. And Jesus is using a portion of Old Testament scripture to refer to himself. So Jesus, who is the risen Christ, and this is the other side of the covenant of his cross, when Jesus begins to speak about an Old Testament word, Jesus is now telling you that I am bringing this word through the cross, and this word, it was a messianic promise and a messianic prophecy, and this was directly related to me. This word had something to do with me, and I have now fulfilled this word, and this word finds fulfillment and is completed in me. So the best way to interpret the word is to let the word interpret the word, especially if the word is Jesus. And Jesus himself took an Old Testament passage and he said, "That was about me," and that key of David, that was referring to the authority that I have, that I open things and no one can shut it, and I close things and no one can open it. It's important stuff for you. You need to know this. It's absolutely true. So we look and we find out, where is this? What does this talk about? And if you looked in your notes already, you're already flipping to Isaiah 22. Because that's what Jesus referred to. So Jesus is saying that passage in Isaiah 22, it has to do and finds its fulfillment in me. So there's probably some more revelation there that we can find about this key of David. And what does that mean? All right then. Isaiah 22, verse 15. The judgment of Shebna. Thus says the Lord of hosts, go proceed to this steward, to Shebna, who is over the house, and say, what you have here and whom you have here, that you have hewn a sepulcher, what have we here and whom have we here, that you have hewn a sepulcher here, as he who hews himself a sepulcher on high, who carves a tomb for himself in this high rock. What he's saying is, go prophesy to this guy who is a very high level steward in the house, someone who holds the master key. He is a servant who is holding the master key. I want you to talk to him because I'm not pleased with him. Now in this, you can see and you might see a parallel that the enemy tried to take away the right to reign and to rule from Adam who had it. And you see, he did not do it well. And he is trying to exalt himself. He is trying, see, in those days when you died, you made for yourself a tomb. And they would literally find these cliffs. And if you were really, really important, your tomb wasn't on ground level. It was way up here on high. So this guy thought he was all that. And he made a tomb for himself way up high. And this was a guy who was serving himself and a guy who was full of pride and full of arrogance. Verse 17, indeed the Lord will throw you away violently, O mighty man, and he will surely seize you, and he will surely turn violently and toss you like a ball into a large country. What does that sound like to you? You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like, devil, your time is up. I'm on to you. You think you've got the key? You think you can open it shut? No, I'm on to you. I'm going to come and I'm going to toss you. I'm going to toss you away like a ball. Indeed, the man will throw you away violently. He will throw you away violently, and there you shall die, and all your glorious chariots shall be put to shame of your master's house. Verse 19, so I will drive you out of your office, and you, he will pull you down. Then it shall be in that day. Then it shall be in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim. Now what's interesting about his name is he raises. I will call, he raises. In that day, I'm going to toss you down. I'm going to hurl you down. I'm going to strip you of everything. I'm going to expose your pride. I'm going to tear apart your kingdom. And he who rises, did I tell you that this is related to Jesus and it's all prophetic? Okay, good. All right, settle down then. I will call my servant, the son of Hilkiah. He says, I will clothe him with your robe and strengthen him with your belt. I will commit your responsibility into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder. This is where Jesus is saying, Jesus is speaking to John, and he's saying, this verse is fulfilled in me. This whole passage written by Isaiah, all of it was to be expressive of me. I am going to come, and I'm going to take up the key. I'm going to take up the authority. I'm going to take up the reign of David. So he shall open, and no one shall shut. He shall shut, and no one shall open. I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place. That word peg is betterly translated a nail. When they made homes, they wouldn't put a peg into the concrete. When they poured the concrete, they would put nails, long spikes in the concrete when it was poured, so that on those spikes and on those large nails, they could hang many, many things and it would not fall out of the concrete wall. If they tried to put the nail in the concrete wall after, they would have just shattered and broken the concrete. But it was poured in there. It was established and it was in there, and that nail was there so it could bear a great deal of weight. But he's saying, I shall fashion him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's house, and they will hang on him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the posterity. Interesting, the offspring and the posterity. The word posterity means even that which is shattered and broken and prepared to be thrown out. See, when Jesus went to the cross, everything was put on him. Every burden, every single thing for you, everything for every person, high and low. For those who are of high place, or even for those who are shattered and busted and think I'm good for nothing but being thrown out. Everything. When that nail was hung on that cross, when Jesus was hung there, every single person was identified with him, from the least to the greatest. And every person was identified with Jesus there on that cross. All vessels of small quantity, cups and pitchers, big big things, little things, all. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, in that day, the peg that was fashioned in a secure place will be removed and cut down and fall. See, Jesus right there, he was cut down, he fell, the peg was removed, the peg fell, and the peg fell, and he died, and he was buried. And the peg went down from the secure place, and it fell down, and the burden that was on it, it will be cut off, for the Lord has spoken. Now, the burden that was on it was cut off. What was the burden that was on it? Your sin, my sin, the sin of the past, the sin of the future, the sin of every generation was put on Jesus. He took it, he bore it, he fell to the ground, and it was cut off forever. That's what the whole thing talks about. But now look what it says. Go to Isaiah chapter 9, another messianic prophecy. It says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father, and of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. And upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now, I talked to the prop department this morning, and they made me a key. Everybody say, thank God for the prop department. You know, this is what Shabna would have looked like. He would have been walking around through town, and whenever he came around a corner, people would look and go, oh, the guy with the master key. They say, oh my, he's the guy with the master key. And you know, he had authority that when he walked to a door, and the master key fits every single lock in the kingdom. Every single lock, the master key, and the one who has it and has authority to open and to close. And here's the thing. When his master key is used, if he locks it, no other key can open it. And if he opens it, no other key can shut it. Because he's got the master key. This whole prophetic word is all talking about this guy. And you see, there's the key. Who goes to heaven? Who goes to hell? Who lives in eternal death? Who lives in eternal life? Jesus alone has the authority to deal with that. He is the key. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. He is the way, the truth, the life. It's all about him. And if he turns the door open on you, it's open. And nobody, man, angel, created, not created, if he opened the door for you, no one can close it. But I love the key of David, because the key of David is this master key, that if he walks into a situation, he says, this is closed. It's done. Nobody can open it. You can't even open it. Nobody created, not created, no natural being, nothing. If it is shut, it is shut. But if he takes you along and he takes the key and he says, I'm going to open this, and he opens that to you, if that is open to you, no one can close it. You can't close it. Devils can't close it. Angels can't close it. No other man or woman can close it. If it's been open to you, it is open to you forever. He is the master key holder, the one who has the key of David. He is the open door, and no one can shut it. Now, I designed this key myself. Can you tell? I just thought you should see something. How many thought seeing something might help you? You know, I wanted to make the key just like this, because I wanted you to see that the key that I fashioned was kind of like this. Because you know what the key is? It's called the cross. The cross of Jesus is the key. Well, how do you know that, Pastor? Is that just your idea? Is that a neat little concept? No, I just read it. It says, and the government will be upon his shoulder. The government's upon his shoulder. The key is upon his shoulder. Now tell me, when he walked to Golgotha and he went all the way to the throne, to the hill of Calvary, what was on his shoulder? And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And he has the key of David. And whatever he opens, it is open forever. And whatever he shuts, it is shut forever. Well, that's exciting, Pastor. Praise Jesus. I got a ham in the oven and looking forward to going home and eating it. Hallelujah. What do you got? What's going on? You know something? He shut the door to sickness. He did. We had those little testimonies from folks here that telling you straight up that he didn't just take your sin. It says he took your sickness. On the cross, he locked down sin forever, and he locked down sickness forever. And if he locked it down with the master key, nobody can open it. No angel, no principality, no power. When the King of Glory turns that key and he says, that door is shut. That door will not have any influence to you again. I have closed access to that in your life, and I've opened another door, and I've opened another door of peace, of the government, of the increase of his government and his peace. There shall be no end. You've got an open door to shalom, which means nothing missing, nothing broken. It means life. It means health. It means wholeness. It means prosperity. The door to wellness has been opened to you in every single aspect of your life. And it's been opened by him. And it doesn't even matter what your opinion about it is, whether you like it or not. He has opened a door to you of resurrection power, of resurrection life. It says that same spirit that raised him from the dead shall quicken my mortal body. And then you got this beautiful book right here that gives you amazing instructions about how to use the key. And if you realize that what he has done for you, and you realize what has been shut and no one can open, and what has been open and no one can shut, you'll realize that at Easter, who the Son set free is free indeed. This isn't just the keys to death and hell. That's all true. Yes. And you know, he's got the key. And if you trust in him, you will not be ashamed. You will live forever. You will be with him. Just like that guy on the cross said, remember me today. You can have eternity dealt with. But he also has the key of David. He has the key to every resource in the kingdom. He can shut down every bit of pain. And he can loose and release to you every single blessing. Got a key. He said, it's my good pleasure, little children, to give unto you the kingdom. It's my good pleasure. It brings me incredible joy, little children, to give unto you the kingdom. You know, on Good Friday, I had two people walking out. I had Leora, she talked to me. She said, Pastor, you know, we had that healing Sunday. You know, you prayed for me. The pain was immediately gone. She said, shortly after that, it started to come back, and I went, no, that's not right. You know, and she may not have known, but she was absolutely right, because, you know, what he shuts is shut. What he has said no to, what he has disallowed, it's disallowed. And that is shut forever. But you know, the devil, he'll come try to lie to you. It didn't work for you. Works for some people, don't work all the time. No, it doesn't work. That's a lie. Because you know what? What he shuts is shut, and no one can open it. You know, Leora said, you know, I just said no to that. Now, Leora, stand up so the folks can see you. Although the lights are very dim today, right there. And you really did. You really said this to me, didn't you? She really did. And she said, you know, I used to take Rebecca, and this was for, what, some 20 years you suffered from this? 5 years. 20 is better, but 5 is good. 5 years, couldn't sleep, a lot of pain all the time, popping drugs, dealing with stuff. And she said, I was totally set free, and I haven't had any pain since. Why? Where's Doreen? Where are you, Doreen? I know you're out there somewhere. You didn't want me to make notice of you, but Doreen? Hey, Doreen, stand. Just stand up. You don't have to say anything. You can just stand. There's Doreen right there. And Doreen standing right there. Doreen on the way out said, Pastor, she said, I was healed in my back. I could barely walk up my stairs. I was in total pain, been in pain. How many years were you in pain, Doreen? That was the 20. I knew the 20 was in there somewhere. Throw me a bone. Yeah. 20 years, and also had an affliction and a condition with her foot that troubled her. She said, Pastor, he didn't just take care of my back, he took care of my foot, and I've been totally touched ever since. That was an awesome testimony, Doreen. That was awesome. She said, don't bring me up there. We got to testify. Don't we have to testify? Now, what we're going to do is we're going to make a schedule, and for the rest of the year, one day a year, each of you is going to get to use the key. So we're going to have a sign-up schedule in the back. And you know what, folks? Every one of you got the key. That's, you know, I'm going to wear this around my neck for a while just for fun. But you know what? Just to remind me that, you know what? What he said is true. What he shut is shut. And what he's opened, he is open. It's absolutely true. And I'm not going to have it stolen from me or robbed from me. I want to experience in Jesus' name. Come on, stand up with me for a minute. Come on, stand up real tall, real tall, real high. All right, now I want you to just bow your heads and close your eyes and just talk to Jesus. All the believers are praying right now. You ready? Eyes closed, heads bowed. Just start praying right now. In Jesus' name. Listen, maybe you're here today, and I tell you, there is an eternity that you will live in. You know, death isn't it. Death is just a pathway, but it leads to something. You were created to live eternally. The choice that you have today is whether you're going to live eternally with the God who loves you, or you're going to choose to reject that and say, I don't think so. But the choice is yours. And you're here today, not by chance, but you're here today because he loves you. And you know what? He has that key for you. And he's declaring over your life that I have the key. And I can shut that door. I can shut the door to death and to hell. And I can shut it forever. And you can know what it is right now to live eternally with me and experience my blessing. I can shut the door to fear. I can shut the door to that wrath. I can turn that today once and for all. And you will eternally be a child of God. Now listen, that's the Holy Ghost talking to you. That's the Holy Ghost just ministering to you right now. But you know, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you don't know him as the Lord of your life, I don't want you to leave here this Easter Sunday without the knowledge of a Savior who loves you. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to go one, two, three. And on three, if you don't know him or you're plain not even sure, I want you to know today. I want you to leave today with the assurance that you're a child of God. So when I say one, two, three, I need you to put your hand right up. Just throw your hand right up so I can see it, because today we're going to pray for you. Are you ready? Going to do it right now. Get your hand ready. Here it is. One, two, three. Hands up right now. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just keep those hands up for a minute. Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. You know what I'm going to ask you? Everybody's going to pray. We're all going to pray with you, but you pray. You put your hand up. I want you to pray today. I'm so excited that I get to participate with you, where we're turning that key with Jesus. And once and for all, the door to a lost eternity is shut for you, and you've been brought into eternal life with Jesus Christ. What an awesome day. So just pray this prayer with me. Everybody's going to pray it out loud. Are you ready? Say, Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for the death on the cross. Thank you for your blood that cleanses me. I receive you as my Savior. Come into my life. Be the Lord of everything. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for restoring me to my Father. I declare today, I'm a child of God. I'm born again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, look at me. Look at me. If you had your hand up, I want you to look at me. I got something I want to tell you. It's really, really good. All right? Look, look. Look through the hedge. Look past. Look. You are absolutely, totally forgiven of sin. Past, present, and future. God will never see you through sin. And he really never has. He's seen you always as his child, as the object of his love. But you today can know that that will never shape you. It's not your future. You're a child of God, and you have every right and every benefit. Now, making that decision right now is really awesome. Welcome into the family. But you know what? More than just making a decision, talk to somebody. Talk to us. There's people here who want to talk to you, because we want you to understand the fullness of the decision you made. We want you to not just be somebody who made a decision one day, but somebody who knows how to unpack all the benefits of this incredible new life. So do that for me, would you? Would you? Would you? All right. You're looking around now. I want you all looking at me. You ready? You're here today. You got sickness in any form in your body. Any form. You know, I went last night, you know, about 5 years ago, I went on the Atkins diet, you know, and so all I was eating was like massive portions of pork rinds and red meat. But, amen. But, you know, sadly, I started getting all kinds of pains in my feet and all kinds of stuff. And I went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "I think you got gout." I went, "What?" I went, "That's some crazy stuff. What is that?" And he says, "It's the acids and stuff. They'll settle in your feet. It's like acids that aren't getting washed out of your body. What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm on the Atkins diet." And he said, "Well, that'll do it. All that red meat and all those acids are all stuck around, and they're trying to find somewhere to go, and they've settled in your feet. It's like an early form of arthritis." And I said, "Well, that's ridiculous. I refuse that in Jesus' name. I curse that in Jesus' name." But you know what? Last night, I'm tossing and turning in my sleep, and I go, "What is going on?" And I woke up and had this big red mark on the one side of my foot. And I'm going, "Man, that is unbelievably painful. That feels just like that gout I had before." And you know, when I got up, had a shower, all that, I was limping around, got my new shoes. How many know what new shoes feel like? Ouch! I started shoving these on. I went, "Ouch." But I said, "You know what? In the name of Jesus, I thank you that I've got a key. I thank you for the key of David. And I thank you that sickness was turned on. It was closed. That door was shut. And I'm not going to have pain. I'm not going to have arthritis in any form in my life. Because who the Son set free is free indeed." It's Easter Sunday. I'm going to go dance. I'm going to go shout. I'm going to rejoice in the presence of God. Because who the Son set free is free indeed. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quit. And my mortal body. So foot, you be whole in the name of Jesus. So right now, you got sickness anywhere in your body, I'm telling you, it has no legal right to be there, because the key has been turned. The key has been turned. And you know, when the master key gets turned and that's shut down, it is shut down forever. Do you believe this? This is the word of God. I'm not making it up. I went through that, and I know it was all real quick and fuzzy, but I'm telling you, it's the absolute truth. Jesus said, "I am he who was alive and was dead, and I'm now alive forevermore, and I have the key of David." And that is a master key to shut down and to release. You're sick in any way, in your body in any way. You're sick in your mind. You're sick and tired. You're anything. I tell you, put your hand up right now. And just say, "Pastor, pray for me." Don't be afraid. "I'm afraid to tell you I'm sick." Don't be afraid. I mean, my goodness, we're turning the key today. Are you ready? Like, sin has no legal right to be in your body. It's the absolute truth. And in the name of Jesus, we're just going to turn this key right now. We're going to command you to be free right now. Now, maybe you're near somebody. You see someone. Maybe your hand's up. The person beside you's hand's up. Would you lay your other hand on them right now? Lay a hand on somebody near you right now. Because it said, "Lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover." So we're going to turn the key right now. We're going to turn the key on sickness right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, I'm fully expecting that you're going to feel better before you go. All right? Say to your neighbor, "You're going to feel better before you go." The power of God is going to be loose through your body right now. You'll never be the same. Are you ready? Father, on the authority of your word, I thank you for the finished work of Easter. I thank you for the cross, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I thank you that because of this, he has authority. Because of this, he is qualified to carry the key. He is carrying now on his shoulder his government. And the reign of his government and the rule of his peace, it shall increase and there shall be no end to it. So I thank you right now that you are the mighty God. So I turn the key on sickness right now. I announce to you, sickness in every form, you have been shut down. You have been closed down. You have no right or authority. The door to these lives has been shut to you, and I insist right now that sickness leaves every single body. I remove you and I shut you out in the name of Jesus. And right now, in Jesus' name, I lose health. I lose strength. I lose healing. It says, "As my days, my strength shall be." It says, "The Lord is my healer. He is my strength." Let the weak say, "I am strong because of what the Lord has done." So I turn the key and I lose blessing. I lose release right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be made whole. Man. Now, right now, put your hands all down. How many felt something happened in your body right there? Put your hand up really high. You felt something in your body. I see that hand. I see that hand. Who else felt something in your body? I see that hand. Anybody else? You felt something. You felt God touch your body. Now, let me tell you this, whether you felt it or not, cry out for the manifestation, cry out for the full revelation. But whether you felt it or not, it is done. It has no legal right to afflict you. One more thing before you go, just one. You ready? Now, if you've been experiencing any limitation, you've been experiencing just an area where there's restriction on you financially and you can't seem to get a breakthrough, I'm telling you, God is a breakthrough God. You know, Julie just got her dream job. She wanted that job. She was thinking about all the other ways that she could move in. She was pushing every door. And you know what? God turned the key. He opened the door. And she's doing exactly what she wants to do. And God opened that door for her. I mean, we had Erica testified last week that, you know, she sowed a seed. And God gave her not just a little bit of increase, but 10 times the increase and put her in a job that she loves. I tell you, God is doesn't have any favorites. What he did for anyone else, he'll do for you. And he wants you to have a breakthrough. And you know what Jesus really did when he died on that cross? He said, the good news is you don't have to be poor no more. You don't have to be limited anymore. You know what? You are condemned to a life of supernatural revelation, supernatural ideas, supernatural platforms, supernatural resources, supernatural blessing. You know what? Open your door, and if the wolf's at the door, command them to have puppies. And then sell the puppies to the zoo or something and live on the rest. But I'm telling you, if he could make that oil to that widow, if he could make that little oil jar just pour and pour and pour and pour, how much more will he not do for you? So right now, you're experiencing any restriction or any lack. I want to pray for you. All right? And this is it. We're going to let you go now because I know you got Easter. But you're experiencing lack in anywhere. You need a breakthrough. You need to see God's favor come into full-blown manifestation in your life. And it's there, but you want to see it. Just put your hand up and say, I could use a breakthrough, Pastor. I really could right now. All right. You see those hands? Put a hand on somebody near you. Loose the blessing on them right now. Hands are for blessing right now. I thank you for the key. I thank you that the cross was the key. I thank you that you became a curse that I might walk in the blessing of God. You who had no sin became sin that I might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I thank you that curse is over. I'm not living under a curse. I'm literally condemned to a life of blessing. So I rebuke every doubt. I rebuke every fear. I rebuke every thought that would try to limit that. And I loose right now in my life the blessing of God. Thank you that it is your good pleasure that I prosper. You delight in the prosperity of your servants. So, Father, I receive right now the promise of Easter. I receive the promise of a resurrected Christ. I receive that you have turned the key of David for me and that prosperity is my legal right. And I receive it. I walk in it. I curse poverty in all of its forms. And I loose the blessing of God in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Now, I want you to testify because you're going to have breakthroughs in these coming weeks. You're going to be blessed. Some of you say, well, I'm already blessed, but I could go for more. Some of you can say, well, I'm doing better than I ever have, but I'd like to do again better than I ever have again. I'd like to do more. You say, well, I'm doing real good. I'd like to do gooder. I'd like to do more. I'd like to go exceedingly abundantly. You need to start believing God for more, for more, for more, for more. Hallelujah. Signs and wonders. Amen. Come on, everybody, raise your hands really high. Let's thank Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Hey! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, I love you so much. Father, I love this church. I love this church. I love every person in it. I am so grateful that we get to come and gather like this and serve you. I pray the riches of the peace of God on everyone. I pray you'd surround every heart with your love and with your grace. I pray, Lord, you'd cause every one of them to be addicted to your house, addicted to your love, to drink deeply of your favor. I pray the peace of God over each and every one in Jesus' name. I pray for anyone who's got lost family members or people that aren't serving you. We declare them born again. We declare them saved. We declare them in the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Father, I love each one and I bless them. And I pray that the love of the Father, the height, the depth, the width, oh, the breadth of it, Lord, let it sink in every heart. Lord Jesus, your grace, your unmerited favor, let it surround every life and surround every heart. Let us walk in your goodness every day. Father, I thank you for the wonderful promise of Holy Ghost. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for your divine partnership every moment of the day. Now go with us. Put us on like a garment right now. Take us and use us. Through us, loose this release of your kingdom everywhere we go. And I'll always give you the praise. I'll always give you the honor. And I'll always give you the glory. So we bless you, we praise you, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.